recorded.
Hey, what's happening?
Brother, what's up? This is a good recording, man.
Yeah, brother, dig it.
Stop. Right on.
There's too many of you crying. Brother, 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 there's far too many of you dying. You know we've got to find a way to bring some loving here today.
Time now for the Empowerment Hour here on Praise 107.9, presented by the Jacksonville Urban League and First Thursday Jacksonville. And now, here's your host, Dr. Richard Danford of the Jacksonville Urban League and Larry Williams of First Thursday Jacksonville. Right on.
Good morning and happy Saturday, everybody. Welcome to the Empowerment Hour. This is another pre-recorded show, and we thank you, all of our listeners, for indulging us while we deal with the COVID-19 virus that is keeping us out of the studios and helping us to become more familiar with the technology. We've had a couple of challenges here over the past couple of weeks, but we're going to get it right. And hopefully by the time you hear this, it's all worked out. And our guy in the background, Roger, is doing a great job of editing and making sure that we have a quality broadcast. So, Jarman and Dr. Danford, welcome. How you guys doing down in Jacksonville?
Yes. Good morning, Larry. Doing well. No complaints. Just making sure that we abide by the social distancing guidelines and staying safe and trying to maintain our healthiness.
Wow.
And Dr. Danford, how are you doing at the Urban League over there? How's the nonprofit organizations holding up during this COVID-19 scenario?
Well, we're holding our own. Of course, we're closed right now with the exception of myself and a couple other essential people that need to go by and check on things, but we're working at home. With our folk and trying to determine how best, how we can continue to work with clients that really need services. And that's a challenge, certainly, for the Urban League, but for most nonprofit organizations, particularly those that serve children after school, because, you know, the school is closed. So while everything is concentrated pretty much on small businesses, keep in mind that the nonprofit sector are small businesses, many of them, and, you know, have the same concerns that many of our other businesses are incurring at this particular time.
Yeah, and as we talk about that, you know, the COVID-19 virus continues to spread throughout the United States and in certain hot spots like New York, which has the most cases and also the most deaths here in the United States. But as we speak, each week and each day, we get more and more confirmed cases and also more deaths. I'm seeing online right now where Michigan and Illinois and Louisiana, especially New Orleans, are asking for extended federal assistance. And I think we're going to see more and more of this. We have already in the United States more cases than any other country that has had the virus. And that's kind of alarming because we're just into the first few weeks that we've been working to identify, you know, hot spots and areas where the virus is spreading more rapidly. And I think we're going to see even more cases being identified once that we get the correct testing methods out there, because that's one of the things that's been holding everything up, basically, is the ability to test folks in areas, not only the hotspot areas, but across the country. We have some states that aren't even testing yet because they don't believe it's a virus, especially like in Mississippi. You know, the governor there is in denial about the virus itself. So we're going to have this thing could get worse before it gets better, and especially if we keep attitudes like the governor of Mississippi.
So the governor of Mississippi, his attitude is not he's not taking it as serious. But then we see the governor of California, who is saying that all of the information that he's received from experts, this virus is going to take a lot longer than April the 15th. He is possibly recommending a stay at home order for the state of California for 2 to 3 months. And that's what's
well, I think one of the things, I think what we have to be very careful about is trying to put a timeline on the virus. I think the virus itself will dictate its own timeline. And I think we need to make sure that we understand that it's not going to be something where you can just say, okay, hey, the virus is over. Like our president is trying to say that Easter Sunday is going to be the end of, the virus. That you can't say that about a virus.
Well, you mean to say that we shouldn't expect the Easter Bunny? I mean, that's what I'm planning on, right?
Well, he might be bringing some viruses to you.
Oh, my goodness.
So but, the president is saying is trying to establish a date, and he is setting that as Easter. That's the last information he's put out.
Well, what the president is trying to do is to get the economy back up and rolling, and as novel of an idea that is, it's not something that's really when you're talking about fake news, that's definitely fake news, and I think the leader of the country needs to have better foresight than that to start putting arbitrary deadlines or timelines out there without some scientific data to back it up.
We've got a lot going on, Larry, here in Jacksonville. We know that Seattle, you guys are far ahead of us, but we're slowly getting more cases in Northeast Florida, specifically here in Jacksonville. And I see where the majority, I just got a text from with a map that shows the various cases in Duval County and around, specifically some of our zip codes may be hit a little harder than others. So we'll keep that in mind as we go forward. The mayor continues to update the community every day with additional information. And of course, the school system, they're supplying computer laptops for, I believe, a little over 15,000 kids. I hope all of what's interests me is Jamin, you may know something about this computer situation.
I don't know much about the computer situation more than what you've already reported. I see that they have distributed a lot of computers.
Well, I think one of the things that they're trying to do is get folks back into school and at least the education process moving forward via technology. And again, you're going to leave out a lot of folks by using that system. It's just not there are many people out here who don't have computers, and the 15,000 computers that they've identified, you know, where are they going? Have they contacted the district and found students that can use those computers, or how are they determining where the computers need to be?
Well, they used a survey. They surveyed the various families to determine their technological needs, you know, whether they have a computer, a laptop, or a phone. But many of our individuals in various communities have phones that have minute limits. So it would be difficult to use a phone with minutes, you know, as it relates to taking some of the classes. So we need to work through those situations.
Yeah, some of the students don't have the capability. Jama, yes.
Hey, Jama, just a moment. We got to take a break here for a music break. So after we come back, we'll talk more about that. This is Praise 107.9 FM, the Empowerment Hour. Happy Saturday, everybody. We'll be back.
The ultimate gospel experience, the new Praise 107.9.
107.9.
Praise 107.9.
A new song of worship for those who love the presence of the Lord. This says, in his presence, there's fullness of joy. In his right hand, he has pleasures for you. Let me sing it for you real quick. It says this. Oh, how good it is to be in the presence of the Lord. My soul rejoices being in the presence of the King. So refreshing, such a blessing. There's no place I'd rather be than in the presence of the King. Anybody like to be in his presence? Let me sing it again. Oh, how good it is to be in the presence of the Lord. My soul rejoices being in the presence of the King. So refreshing, such a blessing. No place I'd rather be than in the presence of the King. Come on, everybody, sing it together. Oh, how good.
Oh, how good it is.
Yes, it is.
To be in the presence of the Lord.
My soul rejoices. Anybody can rejoice in the Lord.
In the presence of the King.
It's so refreshing, y'all.
So refreshing.
And for me, it's such a blessing.
So refreshing.
There's no place I'd rather be than in the presence of the King. Hallelujah. Now, I know y'all gonna like this one. I'm gonna see y'all sing this all over the world. Let me teach it to you. Makes me wanna sing, makes me wanna shout, makes me wanna holler. Makes me wanna sing, makes me wanna shout, makes me wanna holler. Here it is. Throw up my hands. Somebody put your hands in the atmosphere right here. Hallelujah. Someone sing it like this. Say, make me wanna sing.
Makes me wanna sing.
Makes me wanna.
Makes me wanna.
Makes me wanna.
Makes me wanna holler.
Anybody feel like hollering in here? Come on, sing it again.
Makes me wanna sing.
Makes me wanna.
Makes me wanna.
Makes me wanna.
Makes me wanna holler.
Here it is, y'all. Come on.
Throw up my hands.
Throw your hands in the atmosphere here today. Throw up my hands.
Throw up my hands.
Hallelujah. I see your worshipers all over the world. Let's sing it again, Lord. Jim. Gotta clap my hands. Gotta give you praise. Come on, sing. Now this is my personal time. I love being in your presence, Jesus. Giving you the glory. Giving you the honor. Come on. Give you all the words.
Hey, welcome back to the Empowerment Hour, everyone. This is Larry Williams with Jarman Leichner and Dr. Richard Danford over at the Urban League. Welcome back, guys. And again, this is our pre-recorded show for Saturday morning, March 28th, I believe. And we're just dealing and trying to get as much information out about the COVID-19 virus as possible. And there's so much going on. The stimulus package that the government, Congress, and the president is putting together is being held up by one lone person member from the that's holding up everything, demanding that everyone come back into Washington D.C. to have a roll call vote versus the roll call vote versus the voice vote, and it's creating a habit because everyone, all the House people were decided that they were going to just do a call in and do a voice vote. And this guy comes up with something this morning saying that he wanted everybody there because he was upset about something. And one member of the House can call everyone to have to come back in, thus delaying the stimulus package, which is so desperately needed by the country to get things back into some type of normalcy, especially the stock markets, the economy, and help for the folks that are medical people that are dealing with the virus. You know, it just sickens me that folks pick this particular time to want to demonstrate that they have some power.
Well, and they do that quite a bit. They do it also with this price gouging, Larry. So it's the nature of the beast. So they will pass it.
It's already a done deal. But I'm just saying, you know, one person that has determined that he's bigger than the rest of the Congress and wanting to showboat. But let's move on because we got other more important things to discuss than this clown.
Did we cover the benefits of that package?
No. Let's talk about the benefits, Jarman. What do you know about the stimulus package as far as individual benefits are concerned?
Well, I know we mentioned last Saturday that Americans will receive a stipend, so to speak, and that if the annual household income is up to $75,000 per year and you are an individual, you're single, you will receive $1,200. And if your annual income is up to $150,000 per year, and you're a married couple, you will receive $2,400 plus $500 per child in the household. That's one of the benefits. They're also still requiring that mortgage lenders and landlords hold off on evictions and foreclosures. So those are just a couple of the benefits that I've seen, but there are several. There are small business loans that will be available. But, you know, my concern with the small business loan is that, you know, as small businesses, you know, we don't need another loan to get us more in debt. We need another stipend, something to help us to carry along in this crisis situation.
Well, somewhere in that package, Jarman, and I haven't gone through the entire deal yet because it's still a work in progress. But I do believe that there's some assistance for small business owners, especially those that are self-employed, quote unquote, who don't receive checks or W-2s. They will be available for the unemployment part of the stimulus package. And I think that's important so that, you know, many of the small businesses are one or two person shops anyways. So, you know, it makes a huge difference in our income on a monthly basis. And but the other part of the stimulus package deals with unemployment, and part of that unemployment package includes $600 per week for those that have filed with their state for unemployment. And that's a huge deal for many people, especially in those southern states that have the $7 and $8 minimum wages that people are accustomed to receiving. And so you're looking at, in addition to, I think in Florida, it's like $275 or $280 per week, plus the stimulus federal package of $600 additional dollars per week, which will help many of those people, you know, with their mortgages and keep food on the table.
Right, and that's just for a limited time. You did mention that that was up to 4 months.
Yeah, it's for 4 months. Yes,
but that Larry, additional 600.
Yeah, but how do you considering everybody is working from home? How do you access that money? You know, we're talking about the loans or the stipends, the unemployment benefits. At what point will people, especially those that have been laid off, will be able to go down and apply for the unemployment benefits?
And anyone that has been laid off prior to or now, moving forward, can go down to their unemployment, state unemployment, and file for unemployment. And they don't have the waiting period. That's been waived. So, you know, if you've been laid off, just go down and file for your unemployment. You should start receiving your check in the next week.
So if you're not employed currently, you have not been employed, say, for a year. So is there any help for people who have been employed before? Unemployed before the virus situation.
Yes.
We'll get back to that, Larry, okay, in just a moment. We're going to have to take another music break. We thank everyone for tuning in this morning. This is the Empowerment Hour on Praise 107.9, and we'll be back.
The ultimate adrenaline rush.
The new Praise 107.9, the ultimate gospel experience.
Like you, you are great and powerful. No one can do the things you do. You're the beginning and the end. You're the peace I find within. You're a great God. You are great. You're a great God. You are. The beginning, you're the peace of life within. You're a great God. Yes, you are. You're a great God. Yeah, yeah.
You are great.
His name is Jesus. He's a reason why I sing. His name is Jesus. Chain, you're a great God. You are great. Yes, you're a great God. You are great.
His name is Jesus.
Oh,
oh, oh, oh,
yeah, yeah.
His name is Jesus.
Jesus, Jesus. His name is
Jesus.
Jesus.
Chain.
You're a
Okay. Welcome back to the Empowerment Hour. This is Larry Williams with Dr. Richard Danford of the Jacksonville Urban League and Jarman Leitner with the Harvest Intervention Services and First Thursday Jacksonville. It's an interesting conundrum, this COVID-19 virus, that this pandemic that we're dealing with, guys. And we just learned that the Congress has finally passed the stimulus package, and this goes to the president now for signature, and hopefully we can get some relief out to folks that are being really decimated with financial crisis during this virus and during this pandemic. And I know it's a relief to a lot of folks that they'll be getting a check sometime around April 6th or so. So that's good news, guys.
Yes, and I'm sure a lot of households are excited to hear they will receive a cash stipend, so to speak, or a stipend in the form of a check. And also, again, those additional unemployment benefits will also kick in for those who qualify for the unemployment. So that's
right. And so that the listeners know, is that the you don't have to do anything to get your stimulus check. All you have to, if you filed a tax return in 2018 or 2019, you'll automatically receive the check. You don't have to file anything. It's non-taxable money. So, if you're behind on your rent or just need some extra cash, this is what the stimulus money is about. And again, it's to receive the $1,200, an individual had to make less than $75,000. And for a couple, it's $150,000. And for each child, it's $500. So that's going to be a good stimulus for folks. My question is that if we're all confined to our homes, how can we spend it?
Well, that is a good question. But another great question is, what's going on with the small businesses right here in Jacksonville, right here in Florida? And I see where they've come up with the Florida Small Business Emergency Bridge Loan. And this is for those small businesses with employees from 2 to 100 employees that have suffered economic injury as a result of the designated disaster. So they'll get a bridge loan, and it's interest-free for 1 year at a rate of 12% per annum. Now, I know people don't necessarily like loans, but if you're hurting, a loan is not bad, because who knows if we'll ever be able to repay all these loans. I mean, what about the deficit? I mean, who's going to, so no one is really worried about all of that. Let's get the money if we need it. And down the road, when we're doing better and when our businesses are thriving, then, of course, we can repay the loans.
Absolutely. And I've always been adamant about getting loans during this type of crisis. But if it's an interest-free loan, it's kind of ambiguous. As the doctor says, it's interest-free, but it's 12% interest. Does that mean after that first year, if you haven't repaid it, then it's you're paying 12%? Or those probably details that will be addressed in the small print on the stimulus package.
Right, and I had a question about some of the details of even the stimulus check. If you file taxes, what if that's an old address? Are they sending that check to the old address that's on your tax statement? And if you owe taxes, this was a question that came up. If you owe taxes, are they going to take this money and apply it towards your tax bill? Or is that totally separate?
As I understand it, Jama, no, that this is separate from anything that is being done with your overall tax challenges. If you owe the IRS, this is a stimulus package. This goes directly to individuals and will not be deducted from applied to your past due taxes and that sort of thing.
Well, Larry, what I want to know is how do you get started? Do you call the mayor or do you call your council member or do you call? I mean, the phones are tied up. How do you start the process?
As far as small businesses and nonprofits?
Yeah, you've got to put in an application. If you have not applied to the SBA before, I want you to know that this is a long process. And
okay, so they haven't shortened the process for the crisis. I mean, we still have to go through this as a small business owner. Or do we still have to follow the same guidelines as it would be traditionally in spite of the crisis situation that we're in?
Well, my understanding is that it's not the normal process, and that's the whole deal. And we don't know what the exact procedures are as of yet. I'm sure that there's going to be some type of paperwork involved, but they've indicated that this is supposed to be a deal where it's not going to have a huge convolution of getting the money. They want the money to as many people as possible, as soon as possible. And this process is for small business loans is supposed to be shortened as it is with the large businesses that are receiving the huge payouts.
Yeah, Larry, let me ask another question on another issue here, certainly the virus. But say if you don't have transportation, can you catch the JTA bus over to where they are testing, you know, over the TIAA bank field and over to Prime Osborne Convention Center? Do they have bus transportation for people, the indigent, the people that cannot do not have vehicles that they can ride up to those places? You have any information?
I don't have that information, Doc. And I would, if it's a drive up though, isn't it? It's not a walk up deal, is it? I thought it was just the drive up.
Well, where do you walk up? I mean, we need some tests, man.
Yeah, I know. And that's the whole deal, Doc. This isn't, I think we talked about this last week, and it appears that these tests aren't geared for people that are dependent on public transportation or low income. It appears that it's really a class type of testing system until we get more tests in the field, and that's the biggest challenge right now, even in the state of Washington. You know, I think we've just tested 37,000 people. We're talking about 7 million people, and we've only tested 37,000, and we've been testing for weeks.
And I see where the hospitals now are asking for help from the public. They're asking us to, if we have some extra air purifying respirators and
yes,
face masks that we can voluntarily give them to the hospital. I don't, we're making masks over here, face masks. We went online and found a way to do that. So we're making face masks that we can pass out to those individuals that can't afford them.
That's at the Urban League, Doc?
That's it. Yeah.
Okay. All right, so you guys heard it here. If you need a mask, call the Urban League and go over there and grab you a few.
No, we'll show you how to make your own.
Oh, you're going to show us how to make them. All right, I got you.
Yeah, all it takes is a piece of cloth, and it's easy. It's a simple process.
So it doesn't take, doesn't require a sewing machine, just some fabric glue and some cloth.
No, just all right, cut a piece of cloth and put a hole around for your ears, and you walk around with. No, it. So we'll talk
okay
about that.
Okay, it's a simple, it sounds simple anyway, a simple process.
All right. So yeah. So it sounds like we're at our break time. So this is Praise 107.9 FM, the Empowerment Hour on another Saturday morning. We'll be back.
The new Praise 107.9, the ultimate gospel experience.
Worship, praise, 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 worship, praise baby.
Ooh.
Child of the Yeshua who saved me.
Yeah.
I refuse to let the world re-enslave me. You probably might think I'm tripping cause I'm not tripping. Ooh, temptation in my face, but I'm not slipping. Ooh, I enjoy money, but don't love it. I forgive all of my haters, I'm so above
Let's
it.
Let's go!
I know they stand there plotting my demise. But I keep showing up like surprise.
Like surprise.
Thank you, we done did it again. Hold the trophy up, take a pick for the win.
Ooh.
If God be for me, then nobody can stop me. Break out in a shot in a hotel lobby. Please tell the driver to pull over just for a second while I run around the car, thanking God for my blessings. Yeah,
thanking God for my blessings.
For His blessings.
Thanking God for His blessings.
Thanking God for His blessings. Yeah. George Meyer is my teacher. I'm a rapper and a preacher.
Ooh.
Enjoying every day is how I reach.
That's how I reach.
We don't do no bleachers. We some drabbies.
Let's go.
I feel like Moses cause my staff. Microphone, I rock it. I feel like a Houston rocket. If you try to lay up sin upon me, Holy Spirit, block it.
Ooh.
I feel like I'm raising brand with the two schools.
Let's
my
go.
Life bears fruit. I keep the spirit in the loop.
Yeah.
On the cross, yes, you was sad. That is true.
Ooh.
I feel like Vince Carter, whole arm through.
Let's
Thank
go.
You, we done did it again. Hold the trophy up. Take a pick for the win.
Let's go.
If God be for me, then nobody can
nobody
stop me.
Can stop
Break out
me.
In a shot in a hotel lobby. Please tell the driver to pull over just for a second while I run around the car. Thanking God for my blessings.
Let's go.
Yeah. Thanking God for my blessings.
Sing it with me, yeah.
Welcome back to the Empowerment Hour. This is Larry Williams with Dr. Richard Danford at the Urban League, Jarman Leitner with Harvest Intervention Services, and First Thursday Jacksonville. In the midst of all that's going on with COVID-19 virus, there's still a census being taken, and we have joining us this Victor from the Jacksonville U.S. Census Office. And Victor, welcome to the Empowerment Hour, and thank you for coming on. And there's some urgency about getting these the census filled out, and I understand that we can do it online. And do you want to tell us, give us an update about how the canvas is coming along there in Jacksonville?
Yes, sir. Thank you for having me in, and thank you for allowing me to join the conversation. As you know, we take the census every 10 years, and, 2020 is no different. But when we were planning to do the 2020 census, we had no idea that we were going to be competing with COVID-19. So obviously some of the operation has been shifted, a little bit to the right. But the census continues to go on. And when we decided to do the census online for the first time and on by phone, obviously we had no idea that it was going to come in perfect timing. So as we continue to practice social distancing and, quarantine and everything that we're doing, we're encouraging the population to please continue to do the census. I'm encouraged to say that so far, since we have the self-response map that's up, Jack, Duval County to date has 27, almost 28% of the county has responded to the census using the online or by phone, and even in some cases by mail response. So we're encouraged by that.
Yes, sir. Okay, this is Larry. So we have the three methods of filling out our census. We have the online capabilities, correct?
That is correct.
Okay, and then I didn't know that they could also do it by telephone?
Absolutely. You could do it by phone. When you receive your invitation to participate, there is a phone number in that invitation that you can also call. So if you don't want to do it online, you can just give us a call and you can do the census by phone as well.
Okay. So that means there's no reason for folks not to have no excuse for us not to participate. The main question, what does the participating in the census do for our communities?
Well, I mean, the biggest thing is to make sure that for right now, all this, funding that comes into the community for roads, for transportation, for first responders, for schools, and for representation is all based on the population. The decisions that are being made right now for shaping the future in our community is all based on the population. I know that you have, Mr. Danford online, and he knows that as far as running a nonprofit organization, a lot of the grants that he writes for the Urban League is based on the population. We say in the census that the money follows the numbers. It doesn't follow the need.
So Victor, also, this census also dictates for the next 20 years the presidential arrangement. How to explain that, what happens there?
Well, the census is taken every 10 years, okay? So for the next, anything that happens between now and 2030, as far as funding into the state and decisions that are made by for our representation is based on the population, and the numbers are going to be reset in the years ending in zero. What you and I talked about earlier today is that this is a census where the community has an opportunity not only to elect our officials, but also to give them the financial power to shape our future. So as far as roads are concerned, first responders are concerned, community hospitals, community centers, and anything that has to do with our education, it's all based on the population. And like I said earlier, I'm encouraged by the fact that we have an opportunity to continue to fill out the census while we're sitting at home right now waiting for this epidemic impact, pandemic to pass us right now. So we don't have to wait until this is over. We can just pick up the phone or go online and participate. It's our civic duty to make this happen.
Okay. So, that's good. Diamond, go ahead.
So once we receive the census in the mail, residents can either call the phone number that's in that envelope, or they can go online, or they can also send the response back. Is that correct?
That is correct. The first, most of us here in Duval County, because we're not bandwidth deficient, you're going to have an opportunity to go online or pick up the phone and give us a call. You're going to have at least three opportunities to do that, meaning that you're going to get three reminders. After that third reminder, then you're going to get a questionnaire if we haven't heard from you. You know, so okay. So right now, between March the 12th and the 20th, everyone should have received an invitation. So there should be an invitation in everybody's household right now. And if you haven't, then by now you should have gotten at least the second letter from us saying, please fill out the census.
Victor, what about, go back to the bandwidth. You're saying not every one of us in the community has access to bandwidth. What are you talking about?
I'm talking about internet. Because, you know, when Duval County, when it comes to internet service, most of us do have internet. You know, now when you start going out into the rural counties, that's where the internet becomes a little bit more deficient. So in those rural counties, most folks there will get the the questionnaire in the mail. Most of Duval County, you'll just get an invitation to participate. You won't see the questionnaire unless you do not respond to the census here in Duval County.
So when I call in, then since I don't have internet, I call in. I guess I would be assigned a password, a number. So when I do it, I can't call back again. Continue to do that.
You're correct. You're going to be given a census ID number for either online or when you call in, you're given a census ID number. Now, that doesn't preclude you from filling out the census. If you don't have a census ID and you go online, it'll ask you, what's your census ID? But if you don't have a census ID, you can click on, I don't have a census ID, and you could just populate your address. Because remember,
And we have to wrap this up pretty quick to hear. If all of that fails after this COVID-19, if you haven't sent in or used one of those three methods, then you will be someone will be coming by in person to your home to do those deals. So you might as well do it online and get it done. The 28% is encouraging because that's about the percentage of voters that we had participating in the last election.
And that is as of yesterday afternoon, since we started sending out the invitations in the 12th, since the 12th of March. So that is encouraging, and that's updated every day, and it's online for everybody to see. If you go to 2020census.gov, you can go there, you can respond there, and you can also see how Duval County is doing.
Great, great.
Thanks a lot, Victor, for coming on, and we appreciate you. We might have you back on again when we have more time. COVID-19
I appreciate y'all.
It's taking up all of the time right now. How are we looking at time, Jarman?
We got about a minute left.
Well, since you have almost a minute left, there are some places that are open. Right. Here in Jacksonville, right?
Yes.
Yes, absolutely.
Grocery stores, pharmacies, and others. There should be a thing online where you can go and find out, what is open and what is closed.
Yeah, so just stay on top of searching, doing Google searches and getting updates. We thank you so much for tuning in this Saturday to our pre-recorded Empowerment Hour, and look to hear us next Saturday. Again, thank you so much. This is the Empowerment Hour on Praise 107.9. Have a wonderful weekend.
Be safe.
Peace out.